Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on, and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13 through 17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience as outlined throughout His entire Word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishment upon Himself so that we could have a fresh start clothed in His righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us, Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal His people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, His Word, is still able to heal His people today. If you have questions, please email us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. Today we are going to recap the significance of the fall feasts with some new insights into some surprising scriptures that are not often associated with the fall feasts, but rather have some very subtle implications that can tell us a lot about the days ahead, and at the very least are a second and third witness to what we've already seen elsewhere. Then we will close by praying in agreement with His Word, starting with Psalms 118. We're going to start with Mark's rendition of the Olivet Discourse in Mark 13:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Yeshua answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among the nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that reads understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which Elohim created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that Yahweh had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is the Messiah, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false messiahs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, when her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Now the last two verses, Mark 13:32 and 33, tell us, the famous verses say, no man knows the hour or the day, not even the Son, only the Father. However, if you look at the original Greek in the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer, you will see that the Greek word rendered in these two verses as no man, not, and neither, actually infers not yet. So reading with this inference of the Greek word, it could say, but of that day and that hour knoweth not yet man, not yet the angels which are in heaven, not yet the Son, but the Father only. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when this time is. So they at that time didn't know when the time would be. It was hidden. Just as Noah didn't know when the flood would take place for 120 years while he built the ark, but then Yahweh told him 7 days before the flood when that day would be. Genesis 7:4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Genesis 7:10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So Noah didn't know at first when the rain would take place. Then, just before it was time, Yahweh revealed to Noah exactly when that time would be. In the same way, is it possible that in the very next verses of Mark 13, Yeshua sealed up in a parable the key to knowing the day that he would return from his long journey? And this key would only be unlocked just before it was time for his return to take place, in the end of days. Let's read it again and see. Mark 13:32-37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not yet, no, not yet the angels which are in heaven, not yet the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Then he goes into the parable of the long journey, which could be the key. Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Quite often Yeshua refers to the coming of the kingdom and or of himself as a man going on a far journey without a specified time to return, while his servants are supposed to be serving him diligently while he is away. Then the wise and obedient servants will receive reward, while the foolish and wicked servants just punishment when he returns. Just as in the scripture from Mark I have just read, the following scriptures all point to the same type of parable of a man on a far journey. Matthew 25:14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And Mark 12:1, and he began to speak to them in parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And Luke 19:12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. So are the men on the long journey, parables, the key to knowing on what day Yeshua will return. Not necessarily what year, just what day. As with much of what Yeshua speaks about in the New Testament, is he here referring to scriptures in the Old Testament that will unlock the mystery of at least the day, if not also the hour of his return? Let's take a look at a parable in the Old Testament that also speaks of a man on a long journey as a clue to maybe the return of Yeshua. Proverbs 7:19, for the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Pretty cryptic, right? At first glance, in the King James Version, it doesn't seem to tell us when the man will return, does it? First, for context, let's read the entire passage to see if the scripture could even be applicable to the parables Yeshua told in the New Testament. We'll read the whole chapter of Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments, and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my master, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner? So she caught him, and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linens of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare. and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. If you look closely at how chapter 7 of Proverbs starts, it says, My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, Thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That they keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words. The scripture starts out talking about the Torah, laying up Yahweh's commandments. It's a parable, and wisdom is the Torah, the commandments of Yahweh, Yeshua, if you will, because he is the Torah made flesh. The strange woman is obviously the harlot church. She goes out trying to deceive the man who is on the street and pull him away from wisdom, away from the Torah, away from Yeshua. And she tempts him to follow her, saying that the husbandman is away on a long journey. That means Yeshua's not here. He's on a long journey. We don't know when he's coming back. Come and follow me. So that is the temptation of the horror church of Revelation and the end times. So this passage seems to be all about the horror church of Revelation seducing men to stray from the wisdom of Torah, which of course is the word of Yahweh, which according to John is Yeshua, who is the word of Yahweh made flesh. So is it applicable and relevant to deciphering Yeshua's long journey parables? I think so. Back to the key verses. For the goodman is not at home, he is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the appointed day. Verse 20 tells us when he will come home, but the translation, appointed time, seems vague until you look at additional translations and other indications of what the original Hebrew word H3677 behind the translation of the appointed day might be. The ISR Scriptures 1998 version says, For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of silver with him. He comes home on the day of the new moon. While the ISR updated 2009 says, For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of silver with him. He comes home on the day of the covering. King James Version says appointed time. Then ISR first said the day of the new moon and later thought it should be the day of covering. Which is it? Or could this word be a little of all of the above without a single good English rendering? Let's take a look at the root word, which is made up of two Hebrew letters, Kof and Samech. This root has two Strong's numbers associated with it, H3677 and H3680. This word is rendered in the Strong's 153 times as H3680 and only two times as 3677. Interesting to say the least, and why would that be? I don't know why they gave it a different Strong's number on the two occasions they labeled it as H3677 as opposed to the 153 times they labeled it as 3680, since there are a huge variety of different vowel points associated with this word in the H3680 rendering. Okay, so what does the Strong's say H3680 means, which has 153 appearances in the Old Testament? It means to fill up hollows by implication to cover for clothing or secrecy. Interesting. What does H3677 say? It says, apparently from H3680, properly fullness or the full moon, for example, its festival. So, then with all of these taken into account, does this perhaps tell us the time that the man on the long journey will return? Is it at the appointed time or festival of covering? Perhaps after the festival of the full moon? The festival of covering, whose exact day is unknown until after the full moon festival that precedes it, is Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement or covering. Kippur, of course, means covering, and so does Kasa, which is H3680-3677. Yes, it would have been more clear if Proverbs 7:20 had used Yom Kippur instead of Yom Kasah, but then it wouldn't have been sealed until the days of the end. Perhaps it would have been too obvious. One last witness to the fact that Proverbs 7:20 could be the key to unlocking the parables of when Yeshua will return is the only other scripture where Kasah is numbered in the Strong's as H3677 rather than 3680, and that is in Psalms 81:3. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. Again, probably another not-so-complete translation. ISR 1998 says, blow the ram's horn at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, or on our festival day. And then ISR 2009 says, blow a shofar in the new moon, in the covering for the day of our festival. Again, this word is insinuating day of covering. In our last few programs, we learned that we are actually commanded to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur in the year of Jubilee, and not necessarily on Yom Teruah. We're getting near the end of the program, so we're going to have to continue this study next week, because right now I still want to pray in agreement with Psalms 118. So let's take a moment to prepare our hearts to speak to our Heavenly Father in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, we give thanks to you, for you are good, because your loving commitment is everlasting. Let Israel now say, his loving commitment is everlasting. Let the house of Aaron say, his loving commitment is everlasting. Let those who fear you, Yahweh, now say, your loving commitment is everlasting. I call on Yah in distress. Yah answered me in a broad place. Yah is on my side. I do not fear what man does to me. Yahweh is for me among those helping me. Therefore I look on those hating me. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in you, Yahweh, than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me. In the name of Yahweh I shall cut them off. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, in the name of Yahweh I shall cut them off. They surrounded me like bees, they were extinguished like burning thorns, in the name of Yahweh I shall cut them off. Pushing the enemy pushed me to fall, but Yahweh, you helped me. Yah is my strength and my song, and you have become my deliverance. The voice of rejoicing and deliverance is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh is doing mightily. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh acts mightily. Let me not die, but live, and declare your works, O Yahweh. Yahweh, you have punished me severely, but did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I enter through them, and I thank you. This is the gate of Yahweh, the righteous enter through it. I thank you, for you have answered me, and have become my deliverance. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was from you, Yahweh, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that you, Yahweh, have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I pray, O Yahweh, please save us now. I pray, O Yahweh, please send prosperity. Blessed is he who is coming in the name of Yahweh. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. We shall bless you from the house of Yahweh. Yahweh is El, and he gave us light. Bind the festival offering with cords to the horns of the slaughter place. You are my El, and I praise you. You are my Elohim, and I exalt you. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving commitment is everlasting. Thank you, Yahweh, for this time that we could be together today. Thank you for this radio station. Please bless them in their ministry. And thank you for all of those that are listening. I pray for blessings and protection over them as well. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week and continuing our discussion on the man on a long journey. Again, if this is your first time listening in, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. Until next week, blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!